the punches. Yeah, that's one thing I know.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. This is show number 190, believe it or not. We're coming at you once again from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 South Western Avenue. We're brought to you by Madden Funds, Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness is good for you. You can hear us every Saturday night from 7 to 8 on Global Irish Radio at GIR.ie. And the podcasts are usually up by Sunday at HibernianRadio.org. Got a great show tonight. Two gents dedicated to the emotional stability and resilience of our law enforcement officers. An old friend of ours, Gene Roy, is back. He is a 30-year veteran of the Chicago Police Department as a patrolman, homicide detective, sergeant, patrol, detectives, and administration before he was promoted to lieutenant, captain, and the district commander of the 9th District in Bridgeport, where he had police operations during the historic 2005 White Sox World Series run. He returned to the detective division, where he served as deputy chief and the chief of detectives until his retirement. These days, he's teaching police and other fire responders about the emotional toll their careers can take on them and their families, and steps they can take to remain resilient and healthy. And he's bringing with us his pal, Tim Perry. Tim is a president and founder of 1041 Incorporated and Nationwide Chaplains, two organizations that have been providing first responder care to police, fire, dispatchers, coroners, and their family members since 2014. His resilience training has been improved by the Illinois Training and Standards Board. He's an 8-year career member of the United States Air Force, produced a suicide prevention conference for 300 officers in February 2022. He's a popular public speaker nationwide on effective crisis care, building wellness programs for first responders, true leadership of life, and spiritual disciples of crisis. Guys, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
It's Thank great you. To have you both. How did you guys meet?
I forget exactly how it is, but, you know, after I left the police department, I had a strong interest in looking after the people, doing what I could to promote the emotional well-being of our officers. Right. I saw too many suicides. I saw too many ruined careers, broken families. And I believe that we were at a conference together somewhere on this topic, and that's where we met, and we just clicked.
That's terrific. Well, we need you. We need you guys because these are tough times for our police. And as I told you guys before the show, we're working on a film, Irish Cops Under Siege. And I said it seemed like it all hit a boiling point in 2020, but you said it started long before that. What about that, Tim?
Good evening, everybody. It's an honor to be here with you all. I think since the beginning of law enforcement, there's always been pressure for the men and women to do what they're brought on to do. And as the decades rolled forward, especially into the last, I'd say, 10 years, it just seems to be this upward climb where it becomes difficult to do what we pay them to do.
Yeah.
They are warriors. They're paid to make great decisions under fire, right?
That's one of the points of this show. We feel that our Irish first responders are the modern day equivalent of our mythological Irish warriors.
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
And I demarcate to say I'm not saying warmongers. I am saying warriors, right?
Yeah.
If people would stop to look at all they're responsible for,
yeah,
all the regulations that they're being held to, all the training that they must take, and then all the highs and lows and 18 times a day, and then go home to be with your family and try and maintain the normalcy. It's a very difficult life. But unless you've done it, people won't truly understand the pressure of it.
Yeah. And these days, at least the Chicago Police Department, they're working 12-hour days. They're working no days off. We had a young lady worked 22 days in a row, 12-hour days, and eventually committed suicide. Patsy Swank is terrible.
Did. That's correct.
Yeah.
And I would say that 12 would be minimum these days.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are working doubles. They may go home for 6 hours.
And they got families and everything on top of that.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
And so you try and help these guys through a series of what? I mean, I can't put it in 5 minutes, but, you know.
I think there's two schools of thought here, but Gene's come out of Chicago PD, and
right.
Gene has made up his mind to not just give up and go the other direction, but to say, I'm going to help law enforcement professionals, not just in Chicago, but anywhere I can so I can move the marker on suicide. I come at it from a perspective of they need a unique model.
Yeah.
Just plain counseling is never going to do it for law enforcement and even the rest of the first responders. So we've come at it mixing science, psychology, also a spirituality. We provide chaplains, counselors, and training.
Yeah.
But the training has got to be created with a police officer and a psychologist or psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And when you think you've got your program together, then you go beat up a lawyer and get it official, right? Hopefully it's an Irish lawyer.
What is, tell me about 1041, which I believe is code for officer in trouble, or what is a 1041?
Gene, you remember what 1041 is?
Officer in service.
There you go.
Oh. Ready to go. Up. Ready to go, reporting for duty.
Oh, okay.
So we were in 2014, we created nationwide chaplains first, and we wanted to do that differently. That approach was to use a faith-based belief in mental health.
Yeah.
About a couple months later, we're sitting in the driveway, and we said, you know, we've got to do something for the other 80% on the force, because only 20% of a given station has a faith and declares
really?
It.
I'm surprised. I thought it would be much higher than that.
Oh, yeah. 80% of the officers then need some care.
Yeah.
So we were sitting in a driveway with a good buddy of mine and had the police radio on, and I thought, what do we name this business? And then 1041 came out.
Yeah.
So
there they go.
At that moment, I believe that it's our job to keep the police officer in service, not just for the department, but for the family and... Yeah. For themselves,
right.
To themselves. And then it was born, 1041.
Yeah, that's a terrific idea. Yeah.
Well, we
and so you've been doing it since 2014?
2014.
Yeah.
But before that, we had volunteered, or I had volunteered since 2007.
Right.
Just to gather information. Because I wanted to know what businesses are I had to build for the future, not just for that moment.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time in a large police station just gathering information, seeing the ugly scenes, the deaths and the decapitations and the terrible scenes. But that's where I knew how we were going to take care of officers, not just on the scene, but afterwards.
Yeah.
So a chaplain may start the care and hand it off to a counselor, psychiatrist, psychologist, and then they'll move into some kind of training role. So all three of those things work together. It's a model that is under one roof, as opposed to you can always get a counselor, you can always get a chaplain separately. Yeah. You can always see training. There's plenty of it out there. But Gene and I teach the Resilient Life course and Mental Health First Aid.
It's a perfect word, resilient, you know?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a word that has 1,000 different
sure.
ideas, but we created it.
Well, I always think you bounce back, you know.
Bounce forward.
Bounce forward.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
But I think that the term resilience, like other words, can lose its flair or definition just because it becomes used too much.
Yeah.
But we have created our resilience training with officers and practitioners so that they had a piece of it. And they said, you know, we just want it to be easy to understand, easy to remember, and make it work. And so that's how we do it. When we get police officers together, we break them up into groups and talk about certain areas. For example, I might ask somebody, what's your hobby?
Yeah.
And they'd say, what the hell has a hobby got to do with me being better, shoot straight, or chasing a guy?
Yeah.
Because if you have that internal voice inside your head that says, I know the why of me, then you're going to be a better performer. So the hobby is a question where they start saying, well, I might be a fisherman or I might not have any hobbies. I'm too damn busy.
Yeah.
There's one particular individual that says, you know, I don't have any hobbies. I just am here 6 days a week. I take care of my family and that's it.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, what's in your garage? You know, being the counselor, I have to get to a circuitous route to get to the answer. He said, well, I got this, that, and I got 15 fishing poles. And, and I said, why do you got 15 fishing poles? He goes, my dad and I used to fish, but my dad died, so I don't fish anymore. I said, you teach me how to fish? Now, keep in mind, I'm a Native American kid. I know how to fish. I know how to fish badly, too. So we're out there on a Saturday just fishing, and he just came to life.
Oh, you went fishing with the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
He had a lake in his backyard. Figure that one out. 15 fishing poles, a lake, and I don't have a hobby. So we went fishing, and he just lit up. He just, his face changed. He was laughing. Hobbies take officers away from law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
So that's what, we leave that in a conversation. Those guys will go good 20, 30 minutes just talking about that.
Yeah.
So we use six different resilience areas so guys can get together and talk. And they told us way back in 2014, they said, don't even bother with this idea. No one's going to talk. No one's going to sit in your class. And now spin it forward 7 years, those people are asking for jobs.
Oh, yeah.
This model works.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine you've heard some horror stories as well.
So we're usually on scene for those horror stories.
Oh, really?
We're right next to them.
Wow.
But we have just in the last, say,
so you guys are like on call.
Yeah.
10:41. Yeah.
So we're on in the stations. We ride in the cruisers. We're with them on scene. We're at their homes, hospitals, you name it, wherever they're at, we're there.
Yeah.
So when things ring out like this, let's say yesterday we had an elderly woman that died in her garage.
Where was this?
I can't really say at this point until it hits publication.
Okay.
But every death owes itself an investigation, whether it's legitimate or it gets a little complicated. So the detectives are going to go in, and sometimes different kinds of law enforcement entities like state or something like that, and they're going to find out why somebody died. And in that process, there's a family grieving. So we usually sit with the family and take care of them, and then we usually... We could do the funerals afterwards, the counseling afterwards, but we become the extension of the police department where people actually say, you know, I had no idea you guys did this. And then after everything's over, we look at our police officers and just might ask some questions in a very intelligent way and not the usual, how are you doing or how is your day?
Yeah.
You've got to be a little bit smarter about how you're going to ask a question to a cop who's just been on an acute critical scene.
Yeah.
But it works. It's perfect. We just got to get more people out there to do it.
Now, what faith are you? Are you involved with any religion? Or
I'm an ordained minister, a non-denominational. I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
And then probably in my college years, I didn't have any faith. And at age 33, I came back to it.
Good for you.
But I knew my faith had to be a part of the answer.
Yes.
So we mix that in as people would like to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I was ordained on the Navajo Indian Reservation.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, my own Pueblo tribe wouldn't let me go on the reservation with spiritual things. So we had to go across
really?
The next door and do the Navajo Reservation. And they welcomed us and ordained me. And so
There's a Pueblo and Navajo that they're not.
So most Native Americans have the Native American religion.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful religion. If you were to ever sit and listen to their beliefs, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
But I believing in God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, that doesn't align too well.
Oh,
so sometimes it takes some time to establish the relationship and trust. But better now, but the Navajos were much stronger with their faith and brought me on.
Yeah. I'm still surprised about that 80% that of the cops are not spiritual. How could you go on the job without having any faith?
So Gene sent over three decades of things. And
what happens is gradually over the course of a career, cops get worn down.
Yes.
And it starts with the physical things. They're planning on going to church on Sunday with the family.
Yeah.
Whatever denomination it may be. But they had to work late on Saturday because they're handling a horrific car crash or a murder or something. Right. So, you know, the rest of the family's getting up at 8 o'clock to go to church. You know what? They didn't get home till 4.
Yeah.
They're exhausted.
Yes.
They're exhausted physically. They're exhausted mentally.
Yeah.
And once you get out of good habits, like going to church, exercising, eating the right way, it snowballs. And that's your physical health starts to unravel, your emotional health starts to unravel, and your spiritual health also unravels.
When you see the depravity of man, what man can do to man, it'll put an edge on you, after 2, 5, 7, 15 years.
Yeah.
I've seen, and Gene's certainly seen it, as much as 2 years, if you have a lot of activity that's like that, especially when things happen to children, babies.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It'll put an edge on you quick, and unless you know how to work your way through that, you'll go into retirement in a very difficult way.
Yeah.
Many of our officers eat their gun a couple months after they retire.
You know, Patty and I had a friend, a female officer, who she had young kids, but she was assigned to those kind of cases where horrible things happen to little kids, and she eventually hung herself. It was very sad. But it's like something like that, the depravity of man.
Yes.
That's what will get you.
I'll tell you that in all these stories of suicides, there are many psychologists, psychiatrists, and chaplains that are saving police officers from making that bad decision.
Yeah.
We ourselves had that decision where they called us at about 2 in the morning and said, I'm 5 pounds away from ending this.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't know what that meant. Trigger pull.
5 pounds.
Trigger pull.
Wow.
So when we got to the house, he had a bottle of Jack in one hand, a Glock in the other, and it was for real.
No kidding.
So we talked him off the proverbial horse there for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Got some coffee in him, and the chief at the time looked at me and said, he's done. He's finished. He said, Chief, if you finish him now, we'll be going to a funeral here in a couple of weeks. Let me have him. Let my doctors have him and our neurobiofeedback specialist. Let me have him. And I'll tell you, within 8-9 weeks, I'm going to bring him back to you full of life and ready to go. It took about 9 weeks, and we brought him back. It passed his fitness for duty.
Wow.
And he finished out the rest of his years to retirement.
Well, that's a great story.
Sometimes that's what we need to see, is just let them hit retirement and then help them to the next phase.
Yeah.
You don't get to hear, and nor do we need accolades or thank yous, but just watching them walk down that aisle to retirement, it fills our heart.
Keeps you going.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just not enough of them.
Well, Gene, I remember you saw a lot of that when we talked to you before as a copper.
Right.
I remember there was a horrible story at Marquette Park or whatever it was. Or
Gage Park. Gage. Family of six was murdered, yes.
Holy cow. That was horrible. And that's the kind of stuff that stays with you forever, right?
Right. You know, the human mind is not acclimated. Think of our mind as a computer. And a computer, if you ask it to do too much, the computer goes haywire.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I'm talking rather simplistic language here. But basically, Your body wants to be within a normal range. But when you get like this,
and your
mind is preoccupied, you know, you just were at a murder scene and you saw a little kid killed.
Yeah.
But your wife wants to take you and the kids, going to go to church together tomorrow morning for a baptism.
Yeah.
It just does not compute. And that's where the stress comes in.
Sure.
The things we were talking about before.
Yeah. Holy cow.
You know, Mike, speaking of the brain, we've decided to bring science into the field. So we bring what's called neurobiofeedback, which allows you to look on a laptop the activity of your brain from a pictorial view.
What do they do? Put the little...
just a band across the forehead.
Yeah.
And so we look at the brain as a forensic level. So I can show you your level of anxiety, lack of sleep, and your coherency.
Really?
Now, coherency is important because you need to know what your decision-making capabilities are. But most importantly, everybody likes to think that they're okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
But when we put the equipment on their heads, they can quickly see, I'm in trouble.
Oh, wow.
And then we can show them.
They can see it too.
Yes. Yeah. And it's at that moment where they start asking questions about their own brain.
Wow.
But more importantly, we can take them to a better place where we reduce the anxiety. We can impact the sleep. And then we can also raise the coherency.
The sleep is an important thing. They're working these guys like dogs. And it's like, well, that's an important, you know, you got to recover. You need recovery time, right?
You know, one of the things I want to point out, something's lost. People ask me why the recent rash of suicides in the Chicago Police Department. this summer there's been an unprecedented history of days off being canceled, 12-hour shifts being implemented, and we have officers working 10, 12, 14, 21 days. I heard of one case, I haven't been able to verify it personally, but 28 days. That's a month
without a day off. Yeah.
Now, if you take a look at commercial over-the-road truck drivers, federal law says they can only drive so many hours a day, and then they have to be off for a specified period of time before they can get back behind the wheel of that 18-wheeler. Locomotive engineers, conductors, whether it's on freight railroads or on the metro, they work 12 hours. From the day and the clock starts the minute they walk in to the station, they could be out in the middle of Podunk when their 12 hours runs up, and you guess what? Their train stops,
and they go
they
out.
Put it in park, and they have to send a relief crew out to get them.
Yeah.
Plus, they can only work so many days in a given period. So there's no truck drivers. There's no locomotive engineers or conductors or, you know, that are working these obscene hours. I mean, 12-hour days, 17 days in a row, that's unprecedented. Of course it takes a toll on people.
You know, on your previous blogs, you've talked about the legislation and the impact to recruiting. And the legislation has a major impact to us as far as recruiting, getting people to want to be a police officer, let alone go through the process.
Yeah.
And this is what's causing folks to work doubles and triples. And there's not one station in Illinois that I know of, and we're in 60, there's not one station that doesn't have a manpower issue right now.
Oh, sure.
And it's because people don't want to be the police and have to deal with things like I'm going to lose my house, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we've got to look at our recruiting methods and capabilities and see how we can improve that.
I think the media has to wear the jacket for a lot of this as well. I mean, since 2020, this whole defund the police and BLM and Antifa and all this insanity.
It's hard to get truth.
It's hard to get truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, you know, take a city like Portland who defunds and then things get a little crazy and then they bring back police. You don't hear a statement that says, you know, we're wrong. We shouldn't have defunded.
They never say they're wrong.
We're going to grow our police force again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a measure of defund. It's just a measure of defend. Defend the police.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm not saying every officer in the world is perfect. Neither is any corporate person, a hospital person. Everyone has a potential for flaws, especially when we're tired.
Yeah.
But we want to do the right things to help our people be right on top of their game.
Now, we have a lot of police officers who tune in every week, and we love them.
Yeah.
What is there any way they can contact you guys and in confidence and, you know?
Everything is confidential, whether they're with our chaplains, our counselors. And 1041's website is 1041inc.com. So 1041 Inc. stands for incorporated.com. And they have all the information there, and they can contact us through the contact button. There's also nationwidechaplains.org. Nationwidechaplains.org has a Help Me button. Anyone in the country can click the Help Me button, and it'll go directly to my phone.
Your phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'll be able to dispatch the right person with the skills, abilities.
Well, how many guys you got in your, I mean, working with you?
Well,
I mean,
in
you
the
can't do this all yourself.
No, not at all. So in the Chicago area, we have about, I'd say about 70 chaplains, and we probably got about 60 counselors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And they cover a wide berth.
You even have a veterans burial fund. And
you know, we have a lot of police officers that have great ideas. And one of them came up and said, hey, do you know 3,000 veterans die homeless every year?
Wow.
He goes, I want to do something. So we created a fund where people could put in money so we can help with those burial costs. Not everything is covered in the veterans' burials.
Yeah.
And the first one we did, and I believe it was Elgin, I expected to be myself and the funeral home director, and 500 people showed up. Three helicopters in the air and five the television stations. So just as an idea, we also give them their wills, power of attorneys, and DNRs.
Yeah,
we do a heart scan because every police officer needs to know condition of their heart. We've lost seven officers to heart-related issues in the last 2.5 years. So whatever's needed for them, we want to create and then make it easy to get there.
You've seen a lot of police officers leaving Chicago to go to, like, Glendale Heights, places like that where it's not quite so stressful. Am I right?
We're absolutely in Glendale.
Oh, really?
It's
yeah.
Stressful.
It is?
Yeah. Oakbrook is a good example of that. Oakbrook hired, I think in 2021, hired 5 officers who transitioned over from Chicago.
Yeah.
There are some good people, good officers and leadership in Glendale Heights, but it is a good example because, you know, we've got to make sure that they're ready for that shift. They're in a good moment there. So we're there as much as we need to be, however we need to be.
What's the website?
1041inc.com, 1041inc.com, or nationwidechaplains.org.
This is something that is definitely needed. Now, are you involved with the Chicago Police Department in any way doing this?
In February, we held a conference for about 300 CPD officers.
Oh, yeah.
That was in conjunction with the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
Okay.
Phil Klein's organization.
Sure.
And his leadership. And, you know,
yeah, Chicago Police Memorial has just been fantastic for this city in so many ways. They just asked us to help put on the production. And we had 300 leaders from all over the, not in Chicago, but also in some in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I think we need to have more of those.
Yeah. I think they need to know they can come in and not worry about any kind of critical, you know, their bosses saying, oh, yeah.
There's a couple things you touched on
stigma.
There, Mike. You know, first of all, is the confidentiality and the stigma. That's one of the biggest issues. And then another thing that's huge, and you can testify to this too, Tim, is the typical cop, male or female, they are the be-all and end-all. They are the ones who absorb the slings and arrows of outrageous consequence,
absolutely,
so to speak. And they have this vision of they have to be tough for their family and for their friends and their coworkers. Yeah, there's a time you have to be tough. When you're in the middle of a bad situation or near an emergency, you have to focus, you know, have that laser vision and focus on what you're doing and help people and save people. But when you're done with that, the effect of that on your body is just terrible.
And your
terrible.
Brain.
And your brain.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally,
you
know, it's terrible. You have to be able to let your hair down. You have to be able to say to your family, you know what, we had a bad one this morning. I know we were supposed to go out for dinner tonight, or I know we were supposed to take the kids out or something, but you know what, give me an hour or so.
I need to take
a nap. I need to take a shower. I just need to get myself together.
Yeah.
Or it's okay to say, you know, I just can't do it tonight. But the thing is, you can't be this stoic person. Because
exactly.
When you're this stoic person and you don't tell those other important people in your life why you need to take a break and you can't do something with them, if you don't tell them, they think bad thoughts. So, well, what's he doing? He's isolating. You don't want to do that. You want to have the type of relationship, and you need to know it's okay to tell that other person, I had that bad one today.
Yeah.
We need to put this off.
Yeah.
Or give me an hour.
There's no shame.
There's no shame in that.
No.
Sometimes we have to teach people couples, how to be with each other when you come home.
Sure.
So we have a resilient spouse program where we teach the spouse, you know, let him talk about one item. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to have anything to say about it. Just let him talk about it.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's shut down at home, and they're shut down in the neighborhood, they're not going to tell anybody in the neighborhood.
No.
The only
no.
place to go is to the police station where other people are hurting too. So sometimes you just got to teach folks to have an agreement. Like the spouse says, husband says, you know, I'd like to talk to you about tonight. And the wife says, you can talk to me about one thing, or you can talk to me about everything, or I don't want to hear baby stories, right? So they just have to have an agreement of how much I can talk about.
Yeah.
Because that's vital. Gene's right. If we can get that first thing out of our mouth, out of our head, we can rest easier, and then the next day we can do what we're supposed to do.
You know, this whole thing, the health scans, the brain scans, if there is some way, even if they could go home and do that in private and go, whoa, I better slow down
that
here.
That is brilliant.
Is that possible?
It just, the equipment's expensive.
Yeah.
But if, then you have to learn to understand how to read it.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that says that they could get the equipment, do the read, and somebody could be on the phone or Zoom.
Yeah.
And say, let me tell you what this means.
Well, you know, that's funny. You were talking earlier because I was saying how much I hate Zoom. You said you did 7,500 Zooms in 2020.
Yeah. So before pandemic.
Just one-on-one.
Yeah. Just one-on-one. Sometimes some wives may jump on.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, the cops didn't trust a video conference for counsel.
Yeah.
And then when this thing hit, wives or spouses, I should say, led the way with, oh, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
things like, how do I manage social issues or social media with this? How do I manage my kids through pandemic?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some giant questions. And cops were good enough to say, you know what? I'm not a psychologist. I don't know how to answer this stuff.
Yes.
So that's what led to more and more calls.
Asking for help does not make you weak.
Yeah, we'll never be able to punch that through. Yeah. We'll never be able to say, go get some help. Don't be. The stigma will always be there.
Yeah.
The more, I'd say, creative, like what we're doing with chaplains, counselors, and training, the more creative you can get, the more effective we're going to be. Mm-hmm. We have to train our own cops how to help the other cops.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
So look for the signs and everything.
Yeah. There's peers. There's other kinds of classes and certifications, which is great. We need that. More of it. The problem is some of those programs die on the vine because they're exhausted. They're too busy.
Yeah.
So the job itself can work against it, but you just keep on trying. You keep on punching it through.
It's sad because it used to be such a, you know, oh, well, I had my two uncles were cops, and there's a whole history of Irish cops and everything.
Yeah.
And now that they're on the firing line and they got the media attacking them and all these other woke idiots. And then on top of all that, they have all these emotional issues that they have to deal with. The thing I wanted to ask you about is, now, we have a lot of female police officers. That's a whole other thing, you know?
It is a whole different thing.
That's
dynamic.
A different bird of a feather to deal with. Do you have female counselors and stuff? Or
we
chaplains?
Do. Most of our counselors are females.
Well, that's good.
We're starting to see an increase of female police officers across the state,
yeah,
which is
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But female officers, like male officers, they need to talk as groups of females.
Yes.
So we've got many
peers,
great
peers,
leaders who are chiefs and who are females.
Yeah.
And they're doing a wonderful job with a model because they're a little bit more open to say, go get help.
Yes.
Here's where I went. Here's what I did.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more open, but that...
Women have always been smarter than men. You know? Of course. Yes.
Now we'll get 100 women calling us. Hey, appreciate your support. I would say that we're going to see more across the board. But we're going to have to think about how we're marketing to that.
Yeah.
Because in the past, it's always been an alpha male dominated society.
Sure.
So that's got to change a little bit. But we have to understand what that means to a recruiting marketing piece.
Well, I think female police officers are very, very special and opening up a whole new psychology with dealing with crime and everything else because, you know, they have a maternal instinct. They have all these things. We've had several female police officers on the show, and they're amazing.
They are.
What they bring to the job, you know. I mean, yeah, they're of smaller stature or whatever, but they're tough inside big time, you know. And
Chief Zeman just left Aurora, but she's still present. Chief Anna Lally out of Elgin. I mean, there's so many. They just stayed in, stuck it out.
Yeah.
They're so smart. They know when to go left and right.
Yeah.
They're creating new programs, rules, and relationships with their cities. They're doing phenomenal work. Sometimes it's just hard to acknowledge.
You know, you guys are also doing phenomenal work.
Thank you.
I want to salute you for that. How are we doing on time? Okay. If somebody needs to get in touch, they go to 1041 Incorporated.
1041 Inc. INC. .com. 1041inc.com or nationwidechaplains.org.
Now, how do you recruit for this, chaplains and counselors and all that? I mean, you need help, I'm sure. I mean, this is a huge situation that's happening, and
We'll have to interview five to get to one.
Yeah.
You know, before it was, if you're breathing, if you're in a church, we'll bring you in.
Okay.
Now we need skills and abilities.
Yes,
it's a calling.
Yeah.
Not everybody, not every pastor from whatever denomination is a chaplain for emergencies.
Yes.
So we've got to recruit them, interview them, give them some kind of simulation training.
Yeah.
And then put them in the field for about 6 months and help them understand the ways of the world in law enforcement. So,
and they go on ride-alongs and stuff.
They do,
like that?
We ride for 30 minutes. It used to be, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, they rode for 8 hours, Gene.
Right.
Wow.
That got to be a little too long.
Yeah.
But 30-minute rides, and then we'll see everybody in the station. I would say that chaplaincy is, there was a time where there were many chaplains, thousands of chaplains, and now because of churches cutting back on their staff, they got to do more for their church. The Catholic Church is a great example.
Yeah.
Father Dan's
Father Dan, the best.
Did a great job in Chicago. He
just
needs
one guy.
He just needs 5,000 more ministers, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we're just never going to see that number again. Yeah. So we just got to be careful to bring in the right people.
Yeah.
Some people just want to be seen in the department. Some people have internal popularity reasons. Huh. So we got to make sure that we bring in the right people that are comfortable sitting in the shadows and not being in front of a camera, but being in somebody's life right next to them. As far as the counselor piece, we train our counselors to be with police, fire, dispatch, and coroner.
Right.
So they're not walking into a counselor and hearing what's it like to be a cop.
No.
They already know that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get right to the hand of
what's going
on.
It's interesting you also have coroners because they see the dead bodies and all that stuff that'll send you around the bend.
Because they may see 5 to 10.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Now, before we go, you told me your dad was from Cork, County Cork.
From the county of Cork in Ireland.
All those Irish cops out there listening.
So he came over and lived in the McKinley Park area in Chicago.
Came over from Ireland.
Yep. Yeah. And went to the Army, the Korean War.
Sure.
Came out of the Korean War as a PJ, paratrooper. And then went to a teacher's college in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
I'm sure he had his choices or something, but but he's always been a great athlete. He was about 5 foot nothing, but know how to drive the lane. And he met my mother and broke into the tribes, and they began to love him.
The Native American tribes.
Yeah.
An Irish guy.
Yeah.
God bless him. And is your dad still alive?
He isn't. He passed a couple of years ago, mom and
soul.
Dad, but they're married 62 years, and they just had a beautiful relationship and five kids. And we all are living all over the country.
Sure.
But we all kind of grew up with a little bit of Native American discipline, a little bit of Irish discipline.
Yeah.
So it was a good combination.
Of two great cultures.
Indeed.
Tim, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Gene, thanks for coming back on the show and bringing Tim to see us.
My pleasure.
Thanks, guys, Gene. Keep doing what you're doing. Come back and see us again and let you know how it's going, will you?
I will.
God bless you, both. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to be right back on Hibernian Radio after these messages from our friend.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey everybody, this is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry. Cops and firefighters risk their lives almost every day, so they shouldn't have to risk their hard-earned dough in any get-rich schemes or the blather of old pals in the real estate biz. And good luck trying to figure out the stock market or cryptocurrency or even economics 101 when you come home exhausted at the end of your shift. What you need is somebody you can trust, and they're in short supply these days. Hey, take it from me. I've lost fortunes in showbiz because I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and I wound up bankrupt and broke. It took me a long time to decide to find a friend I could trust who had my family's best interests at heart. That friend was my late pal, Joe Madden. I met him as he passed the basket at St. Luke's, and I'd turn my pockets inside out as he came to my pew, and I'd say, "I'm tapioca." He laughed, but didn't stop him from supporting my films and showbiz endeavors over the years. Joe Madden had my back. A few years before he died, Joe started Madden Funds with his sons, Mike and Danny. The Maddens and Houlihans have been pals for a long, long time. They can advise the best path for your investments. Madden Funds will have your back, too. Need advice on your 401k or your rollover IRA? You can trust Madden Funds to help you protect and grow your investments now and in your family's future. Go to their website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike or Dan Madden at 708-848-3200 and tell them Hooli sent you.
And we are back. Hey, those guys were terrific. Tim Perry, Gene Roy, and so much insight. I just thought they were terrific. I want to remind everybody, the Emerald Society is having their halfway to St. Patrick's Day party Saturday, September 17th from 1 to 5, 1 to 6 at the FOP Hall on West Washington. Also, you can go to that, and then you can come over to my film festival that night, Saturday night, at the Lake Theater in Oak Park. Don't forget also the 46th Annual Dinner and Awards Ceremony, Saturday, October 1st, at Gaelic Park. It's their Man of the Year, Kevin Farley, Irishman of the Year, from one of the unions. I can't see this right now, but we'll be plugging that as we go along, but hope to see everybody at the halfway to St. Patrick's Day party on Saturday, September 17th from 1 to 6. And then we can all head over to the Lake Theater in Oak Park for our Saturday night program. What's our film that night? Ooh, Redemption of a Rogue that night at the Lake Theater at 8 o'clock on September 17th. Also, do I have any other more plugs here?
Ireland.
Oh, Ireland. We're going to Ireland, of course, here. And, you know, we're going October 18th to the 27th. with Emer Arkin, Arkin's the darling girl from Clare. It's starting to fill up now. I got about almost 20 people. Some of the old time stalwarts. We just got Maureen O'Casey and her sister Denise have signed up. Denny Kearns is going. All the Haggertys are going. Dick Haggerty, Billy Haggerty, Sabrina Haggerty, Martha. I mean, Haggertys. There's tons of them going. We're gonna have a blast. So we want you to join us. We're on Facebook now. It's the Air 2022 trip with Hooley and Emer. It goes to Ireland. Or if you're interested for more information, go to 1-800-664-7474. You will have the time of your life. And it ain't too expensive either. All right, now, Billy, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look at the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, and those great Irish saloons, including Cork and Kerry. I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says, hey, Hooley, who died? Eileen Omit. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. Or Weemit. Eileen attended Sacred Heart Grammar School and graduated from Mercy High School. Following high school, she married the love of her life, the late Edward Umit. Eileen was a homemaker who raised 11 children. That's why we're doing this. 11 children. She later worked at Lord and Taylor in Vernon Hills. She was a woman of faith and an active member of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Osprey, Florida. Daily communicant until the last months of her life. God rest her lovely soul, Eileen Umit, O-U-I-M-E-T. 11 kids. That's incredible. Okay, Catherine Doyle Vecchi, age 91. Survived by her loving daughter, Carol. Was predeceased by her beloved husband, Ralph, loving daughter, Laura, and siblings, James, Mary, Marty, and Patrick. She was a proud executive director of AADE. I have no idea what that means. Passionate reader and writer. And in her retirement, she volunteered with bereaved families through hospice. God rest her lovely soul, Catherine Doyle Vecchi. Kathy Loftus Fennell, a friend of ours, a relation of ours, only seven. I knew Kathy all through high school. She was the beloved wife of the late Don Fennell, loving mother of Michael, Mary Kate, and Matthew, dear sister of Joe Loftus, Mary Alice Loftus, who was married to my late brother Danny, Jimmy Loftus, the late Peggy, and the late Chuck Loftus. I'm so sad that she left us so early. It was early. She had cancer, I guess. The wake is this Friday from 3 to 9, and the funeral is Saturday at 9 from Curly Home at St. Barnabas. God rest her lovely soul, Kathy Loftus, and our condolences to her entire family. Arlene Gill died 79. Arlene taught grade school for several years, but her longtime job was being an assistant to the general manager of the Chicago Cubs. She worked for the Cubs for 35 years and for 8 general managers. She did have a 2-year break in the middle of her Cubs employment to work for the Chicago Sting soccer team. It was with the Sting that Eileen experienced a championship. In other words, 35 years, no Cubs. She's survived by her brother, Bud. God rest her soul, Arlene Gill. Tom Coffey. Now, here's another one that hits a little close to home. Tom is a friend of mine. His brother, Phil, has been a great friend of the show. His brother, Phil, runs Omni Industries. Remember Fresh Wave, Billy? Phil was Tom's brother. Tom is only 77. He was the captain of the United States Marine Corps, chairman and CEO of Haymarket Public Strategies. This is a very big political organization. He was a member of Beverly Country Club, Chicago Yacht Club, and the CAA, where I spent a lot of time. I used to see Tom all the time on those late afternoons at Gene and Giorgetti's when I knew I had stayed too long, but he was always a gentleman, and God rest his soul, he will be missed. Tom Coffey. So let's close up the crib, Billy. Take a little break. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working.
and they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.IE.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage,
Call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dot.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The
what?
Oh. Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
Crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown. Hey, a little surprise tonight. Time for a new segment here on Hibernian Radio. Please join me welcoming our esteemed correspondent and expert on just about everything, Dr. Ludwig von Hersheysquirt. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Good evening. Actually, it's pronounced Hersheysquirt.
Well, excuse me, Doc. Hey, let's get to the question from one of our audience members. Dear Dr. Hersheysquirt, my husband and I have been married for almost 15 years, and he recently asked to spice up our love life, if we get into role-playing as famous movie stars.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine. We started out with him pretending to be Brad Pitt and me playing Angelina Jolie. Also Harrison Ford and me playing Calista Flockhart. And more recently, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Mm.
But the other night, he wanted to play Will Smith. And he asked me to play Chris Rock and started slapping me around. I'm starting to worry, Dr. Hersheysquirt. Is this normal? Signed, Madonna, looking for a better man.
Well, Madonna, be careful he doesn't want to play Tommy Lee or Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka or Elton John and his husband, whatever his name is. Role-playing can be a very dangerous thing in a relationship, and there's a lot of risk exposure.
Ah, Dr. Hersheysquirt, thank you.
Very much so.
Where did you study, by the way? You have a strange accent. Are you from Germany or Norwegian?
Trinity University of Dublin.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay. You know. Must have been an exchange student.
The Hersheysquirt emigrated during the Celtic Tiger.
What a wonderful family.
Well, we are very esteemed people and doctors. And
Dr. Hersheysquirt.
I'm thrilled to be here and that you found me.
Oh, yes. How could we miss you?
As I was saying, role-playing
in
a marriage
or
in any kind of love-life relationship, while people say that it can spice things up, there is a lot of risk exposure. And I wouldn't recommend it. It can leave a stain on your marriage. It's very,
and other things.
It's very compatible to, maybe eating 6 bowls of chili for dinner and going to work commando in your new khakis the next day,
okay.
Right?
Speaking of leaving a stain, Dr. Hersheysquirt?
The damage can be irreversible,
oh, yes,
as they say.
Those khakis are not cheap either.
Well, khakis and marriages are not cheap either.
They're
expensive.
There, yeah.
And those sorts of stains cannot be taken out with a little dishwater. It's hard.
Bleach.
It's hard, especially if you're playing with the Beyonce and Jay-Z role. It can be very aggressive on the body.
Now, where did you get your are you a medical doctor or a psychological doctor? Dr. Hersheysquirt, I just want to clarify.
Well, in Ireland, they just call me an Irish doctor.
Irish Dr. Hersheysquirt. Okay. Well, I'm enlightened by you joining us, Dr. Hersheysquirt. Hopefully, you can come back next week. Maybe
I'd love to be here. The ambiance here at Cork and Kerry is so nice.
Thank you, Doctor.
The pizza is so fulfilling. There is
nothing like that pizza, but only one.
Very much. Lots.
Only one pizza while it lasts.
Well, one is enough, you know.
Okay. Foxes.
For me.
Fox's Pizza, endorsed by Dr. Ludwig von Hersheysquirt.
Yes,
there
the tavern cut style.
Oh, yes.
Very nice. Cut in squares, you know.
Okay. We're going to head home. Doctor,
Ludwig von Hershey Square, thank you so much for joining us.
I would love to be here to offer more love life advice and all, you know, bathroom advice.
Oh, that's what we need, man.
Medical
need
advice, anything. Okay. Thank you so much, Huli.
Okay. Next week, Brian McCann will be joining us. And Skinny Sheehan is here, ladies and gentlemen. Skinny, do you know Dr. Ludwig von Hershey Squirt? He is our marital relations counselor who's on the show. Okay. All right, we're going to take it out. Thanks, everybody. Have some pizza. Thanks. We'll see you next week. We'll see you later. Bye.
Oh, and I wondered. Yes, I wondered. Lord, I wondered. Would I look down?